Thank you so very much, Matt, those kind and gracious words. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. I have been looking forward to this for weeks. I would say actually months. I've been looking forward to being here to see what the Lord is doing in and through Doxa Church. Our church family is so excited about this plant. Some of you are aware of the fact that we just recently lost one of our pastors who suddenly, unexpectedly died. He was here for your launch Sunday, and then 4 weeks ago, Friday night, after working out, he just fell over dead. It's such a devastation to our church family. I was texting with his wife shortly after that, and I just said to her, that because he left his wife and four little kids, and I said, I'm sure you are overwhelmed with the thought of raising four kids on your own, but you're a great mom, and I know the Lord will sustain you. And she said, oh, but Danny was such a good dad, and he just helped me so much. And I said, no, I know he was, but you're a great mom. And she said, well, it just seems that the Lord takes the best. And that, of course, broke my heart. But I've reflected on that since and want to relate it to here, because I remember when the Lord took Matt and Trina 3 years ago from our church to the next phase of their ministry, which ultimately led to here and what the Lord is doing here. And I thought back about that often since my interaction with Danny's wife, and I thought, yes, sometimes the Lord does take the best. And the Lord did that in taking Matt and Trina from our midst to bring them here to be leading this great work that the Lord is doing. So it's a privilege. It's an honor for me to be here with you this morning. This is a great time, Matt, for you, family of Doxa Church, as you have officially launched and your relationship as shepherd and sheep has begun. But I don't have to tell you that many relationships which begin really well don't always stay positive and healthy. In fact, they often don't end well. This is regularly true, whether it's a marriage relationship or a friendship relationship or a business relationship or a ministry relationship. One of the factors that often contributes to the breakdown of a relationship is an ignorance about how the relationship is supposed to work. So this morning, I want us to hear from God concerning how this specific relationship is supposed to work. This message will be a charge to you, Matt, as a shepherd, and it will be a charge to you, the family of Doxa Church, here in your early days as a church family. And that is why I have titled this Shepherds and Sheep. Please turn with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. After the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. Those are big letters, but then we have a series of smaller letters: Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, then 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to be looking primarily, though not exclusively this morning, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so when you find 1 Thessalonians, turn with me to chapter 5, and I will read verses 12 through 24, and you can follow along in your Bible as I read these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. These final exhortations here of this letter called 1 Thessalonians can be divided up into three sections. Verses 12 and 13 deal with the relationship between sheep and shepherds, or sheep and spiritual leaders. Verses 14 and 15 deal with the relationship between sheep and sheep, members of the body of Christ together. Verses 16 through 28 deal with the relationship between sheep and the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father. Now, we might think that the Holy Spirit would have prompted Paul to deal with this last relationship first, because clearly it is most important. Our relationship as sheep to the great shepherd is surely our most important relationship. But it is no accident that the first thing the Holy Spirit prompted Paul to address is the relationship between sheep and shepherds, because this is where the life of the church fleshes out on a practical level. Under shepherds stand in the place of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the relationship between sheep and shepherds is crucial both ways. It is crucial that shepherds know how God wants them to shepherd and lead his people and care for his people. And it is just as crucial that sheep know how God wants them to relate to their shepherds. I have many conversations with people around the nation about this very subject. There's probably not a week that goes by where I don't talk, or where there is a lack of the conversation talking with brokenhearted pastors who have been crushed by difficult sheep, and I talk to brokenhearted sheep who have been crushed by insensitive shepherds. So it's important that we see and hear what God says on this subject. Beginning in verse 12, the Holy Spirit guided Paul to write these words: "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work, and be at peace among yourselves." As you can see here in these verses, Paul addresses them to the congregation, that is the church family in Thessalonica, and he gives instructions concerning how they, as sheep, were to relate to their shepherds. Paul wanted to address this issue immediately because shepherd-sheep conflicts are often the cause of church problems and, sadly, even church splits. And I don't think I'm reading into the text something that's not there, because based on the end of verse 13 and also verse 14, we know that there were some in this church who tended to be troublemakers. There were some in this church who tended to be unruly. So Paul addresses this issue first as he launches into this section on church life. And he says in verse 12, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." The responsibility of the shepherds to the sheep is threefold according to this verse. There is one article in the Greek language which indicates that there are not three groups in view here, but rather one group, and that group that is in view, in focus, is the spiritual leaders of the church. Spiritual leaders have a threefold responsibility. Shepherds are to labor among the sheep, watch out for and lead the sheep, admonish and give instruction to the sheep. Those are the three specifics that the Holy Spirit prompts Paul to mention, and they're very closely related and tied together. I want us to consider them individually, though the distinctions between them aren't that precise and definitive. The first responsibility that Paul mentions for shepherds is the responsibility to labor among the sheep. The word labor is a common word for the Apostle Paul. It means to work to the point of sweat or exhaustion. It's a word that describes intensity, diligence, fervor, and passion. This is what God expects of shepherds. The issue isn't holding an office. The issue isn't holding a position. I'm afraid some pastors and elders forget that. The shepherds are to labor among the sheep. What is involved in that? Laboring among the sheep means getting to know them personally and intimately so you know how to work with them better. That is essential. A shepherd has to know his sheep if he's going to be effective in leading them and working them, with them. Actually, you could say it this way. There are two primary things a shepherd needs to know to be effective. He must know the Word of God thoroughly and deeply, and he must know the sheep thoroughly and intimately. Laboring among the sheep also involves loving them and serving them when there are needs you can meet. It involves encouraging them in their walk with the Lord and challenging them to greater heights in the Christian life, like Paul did in chapter 4, verse 1 of this letter, chapter 4, verse 10 of this letter. It involves discipling them and training them on a personal basis. It involves holding them accountable to biblical standards and a biblical lifestyle. It involves reproving them when you see wrong behavior or wrong attitudes or wrong doctrine or wrong theology. It involves spending time with them to set a pattern and an example. It involves counseling them concerning issues and decisions in life. It involves praying with them. It involves praying for them. It involves nurturing them. It involves rejoicing with them and weeping with them. It involves supporting them. It involves feeding them, which is teaching them God's truth. Shepherding is all about relationships. The primary task of shepherding isn't running an organization. The primary task of shepherding isn't administrating programs. The primary task of shepherding is working with people. That is why the primary task of pastors and elders isn't making decisions during a monthly board meeting. The primary task of elders and pastors is shepherding people. All of those things I mentioned are wrapped up in this idea of laboring among the sheep. So you can see why in 2 Corinthians 2:16, Paul said, "And who is sufficient for these things?" I'm certainly not. No way. No one is. But a man who longs to be a true shepherd of the sheep gives himself wholeheartedly to these things. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, verse 10, "By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." In Colossians 1, 28 and 29, he said, "We preach Christ, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And then he added, "To this end I labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily." In 1 Corinthians 9, 27, Paul said, "I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." In Acts 20, 31, Paul said his labor among the sheep involved working night and day. Matt, you can be a lazy shepherd, but you'll never maximize your ministry. Being a true shepherd involves diligence and effort to be effective. Being effective as a shepherd involves not only God's gifting, absolutely God's gifting has to be there, but it's not only God's gifting, it's not only God's sovereign choice to bless, it also involves diligence and effort. But let me say this, regardless of how hard you work at it, one man cannot do everything in the church. That is why whenever you see the term elder in the New Testament, it's almost always plural. Elders, plural. God's design is to have a plurality of godly shepherds, both lay shepherds and staff shepherds. Even here in verse 12, notice Paul uses the plural when he says, "those who labor among you." Even in a church like Thessalonica, which was evidently a small church, there were several men who were involved in shepherding. No one man can do all the things I mentioned earlier, even if it's just with a few people. It certainly can't be done with a large number of people. And God doesn't expect that. He expects the laboring load to be shared among a plurality of shepherds as well as among other believers in the church. As I mentioned a moment ago, verses 14 and 15 describe the relationship between sheep and sheep, that is, one another in the family of God, in the body of Christ, where Paul writes this, "And we urge you, brothers," that is all of you, brothers and sisters, "admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone." So God not only expects the shepherds to do these kinds of ministry functions, he also expects the sheep themselves to share the load. It's impossible for one man or even a few men to carry out all the shepherding load in a church. But the spiritual leaders are supposed to set the pattern and the example. So the first responsibility Paul mentions here for shepherds is to labor among the sheep. The second responsibility he mentions is to oversee or lead the sheep. He says here in verses 12 and 13, those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, or those who have charge over you in the Lord. God's design is for godly shepherds to oversee the sheep. 1 Timothy 5:17 speaks of elders who rule well or lead well. Hebrews 13:7 and 17 speak of those who rule or lead in the church. Shepherds are over the sheep, not in the sense of lording it over the sheep, but in the sense that they are supposed to oversee the sheep, watch out for the sheep, lead the sheep. In 1 Peter 5:2, Peter says to the elders, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, or taking the oversight, or exercising oversight. Shepherding involves watching out for the flock. This means watching out for their spiritual lives. It means watching the decisions they make in life, because our decisions can impact our walk with God. It's amazing how quickly we as sheep can wander. Within a matter of days, sheep can go from following the great shepherd to wandering away. So shepherds are to oversee the sheep and lead them as they make decisions in life. That's why shepherding involves shepherds knowing their sheep, being in touch with their sheep, and being involved with their sheep. In Acts 20:28, Paul told the shepherds of the church at Ephesus, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his blood. Shepherding involves watching out for the sheep and leading them in the right paths, just as the great shepherd leads us in the paths of righteousness, as stated in Psalm 23. You can see why shepherding is a demanding and sometimes overwhelming task. And you can see why God is so adamant about having more than just one shepherd in a church. It can't be done solo. The responsibilities are too great. And there's even another specific one added in verse 12. The last phrase says there in verse 12, and admonish you. Or if you happen to have the New American Standard Bible, those who give you instruction. Shepherds have the responsibility to lovingly warn the sheep when they are wandering or when they're making unwise decisions in life. Shepherds have the responsibility to lovingly warn the sheep when they're ignoring God's word or disobeying God's word. Shepherds have the responsibility to lovingly warn the sheep when they're heading a direction in life that is dangerous for their spiritual well-being. In Acts 20:31, Paul said, therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul knew the importance of instructing and warning. He did it night and day, he says. You know, frankly, most churches wouldn't put up with that. Most sheep don't want a shepherd who warns regularly because they say that's too negative of an atmosphere. But warning is an essential part of shepherding. This is an aspect of shepherding that most of us shepherds don't like, because most sheep don't respond well or properly to this responsibility God has given us. But we still have to do it. So those are the three basic responsibilities of a spiritual shepherd. Labor among the sheep, watch, keep watch over the sheep, and admonish or instruct the sheep. Just as there are three responsibilities the shepherds have toward the sheep, there are three responsibilities the sheep have toward shepherds. And they are: appreciate his deeds, meet his needs, and follow his leads. Look at verse 12 again here of 1 Thessalonians 5. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. The word in verse 12 that I want to call to your attention is the word that is translated recognize, depending on what English translation you have. It's translated recognize, know, appreciate, respect. That is how it's translated by our various English translations. Every major English translation translates it differently because there are so many nuances of meaning behind this word. It carries with it all those ideas. It means to know intimately. It means to recognize them for their labor. It means to appreciate them. It means to respect them. It means to value them. God is saying, appreciate the work of your leaders. And verse 13 takes it a step further. It says, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Esteem them very highly, not because you agree with everything they do. Esteem them very highly, not because you agree with everything they say, but because you recognize the difficulty of their position. It's a demanding and draining and often discouraging duty to be a spiritual shepherd. So God says, esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. But there's still more. The end of verse 13, the Holy Spirit adds, be at peace among yourselves. One of the best ways to appreciate his deeds is to be one in spirit in support of him. Don't be always criticizing. Don't be always harping, causing dissension. Don't be a negative saint, okay? Just don't be a negative saint. I mean, you know, I've been a pastor long enough to know, and I love all of God's people, but some are so negative, they can walk through a beautiful meadow and find the only cow pie that's in it. I mean, just so negative. I mean, as a pastor, sometimes you just get all of this criticism, and all, you just feel like you're being stoned to death with popcorn. You know, it's not rocks. You're just getting, it just goes on and on. And the Holy Spirit is saying, don't do that. Be at peace among yourselves. Don't be that kind of person. And then he says in verse 14, he says, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Notice that this exhortation is given to the family of God, not just shepherds. You as a church family, you as a believer, if you know Christ, you are to admonish, encourage, and help others in the family of God. Don't just expect that the pastor will do it. If you find someone who is out of line, you take care of it. Don't tell the pastor to do it. In other words, you do your part to maintain unity in the church. The pastor has enough to do. You do your part. Appreciate his deeds. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Godly, sensitive, loving, caring shepherds are to labor among the sheep, watch out for and lead the sheep, warn and instruct the sheep. Godly, sensitive, loving, caring sheep are to know, recognize, appreciate, respect, and value their shepherds. So appreciate his deeds. Secondly, what does God say is a responsibility of a church family to shepherds? Secondly, not only appreciate his deeds, but meet his needs. Turn over with me back to the left to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So we have these little letters of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, but prior to that is 1 and 2 Corinthians. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And here in this section of the letter, Paul is discussing Christian liberty or freedom. And in chapter 9, that's chapters 8 through 10. It's a large section of the letter. But in chapter 9 specifically, he's discussing his own personal rights. Now, Paul doesn't do this in a selfish way. It's just that there are those who think an apostle or a pastor has no personal rights whatsoever. But Paul actually, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, lists two personal rights in this passage because he says in chapter 9, verse 4, he says, do we not have the right to eat and drink? Here, he is referring to the basic necessities of life. The man of God has a right to the basic necessities of life. He has the right to food and drink. And I might add that he has the right for the time to consume them. And then, verse 5, he adds another one. He says, not only food and drink, but do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? So not only does the preacher have a right to food, but he has a right to family. The Holy Spirit is saying here, through Paul's words that he says, don't I have a right to have a family and to know that they'll be supported along with me? And the implication again is also for the time to be with his family. This passage is teaching that a congregation, a church family, should be sensitive to the shepherd's physical and family needs. And then Paul illustrates his point in verse 7, who serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard without eating any of the fruit, or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk. The soldier, the farmer, the shepherd, they live by their work. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying. And then in verse 8, he says, do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? In other words, Paul is saying, is this just my opinion? Am I sort of tooting my own horn and trying to make people feel guilty about how they relate to me? Is this my opinion or is it God's? It's God's. And then he uses an illustration in verse 9. He says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Is it for oxen that God is concerned? In those days, an ox would drag a huge rock across the husks to crush them and release the grain, and it was just expected that the ox could eat as he went along to keep him motivated. And so Paul sums up his teaching here in verse 14 by saying this. He says, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who proclaim the gospel, that is, those who live proclaiming the gospel, that is their life's vocation, should get their living by the gospel. Here, the Holy Spirit is saying that the man of God has the right to expect his personal and family needs to be met by the church he serves. You see, if his needs aren't met, then his ministry will become crippled. So meet his needs. Appreciate his deeds. Meet his needs. And then thirdly, finally this morning, follow his leads. Turn over with me near the end of the New Testament to the letter called Hebrews. Hebrews, it's before James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. So if you get over that far, you're a little too far. But look at Hebrews chapter 13. And notice what the Holy Spirit says here in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 7 and 17, actually. Verse 7 says this, Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. That verse has an emphasis on the past. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you've had leaders, spiritual leaders, pastors, shepherds who've invested in your life, then the writer is saying, remember them. Appreciate them, those that invested in you in the past. But then verse 17 has an emphasis on the present. Because down in verse 17, he doesn't look to the past. He talks about the present where he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. So the instruction for a godly church family, the instruction for a godly congregation is very clear in this verse. Obey and submit to your godly leaders. Why? Because they watch out for your souls. And there is no greater responsibility in the world than that. It is a greater responsibility than that of a king, a president, a surgeon, a general. They watch out for your souls. And this verse says that spiritual leaders must give an account for that. One day a pastor came to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a great preacher and pastor of the past. A pastor came to Spurgeon one time and he complained saying, Mr. Spurgeon, my congregation is too small. Spurgeon replied, maybe they are as large as you'd like to give account for. That's a heavy thought for the shepherd who really has a heart for God and takes God's responsibilities seriously. So you as a church family, obey and submit to those who are your spiritual leaders, those who are your shepherds today and will be in the years to come as God continues to bless Doxa Church. Verse 17 says, obedience and submission bring joy to the heart of a genuine shepherd, and that profits you. I have lost track of the number of times through the years where I have poured my life into someone only to have him turn around and walk away. Or worse, turn around and turn against me. Sadly, that happens on a regular basis through the years to shepherds. And it's heartbreaking. God says, don't do that to your shepherds. Don't do that to your shepherds. Obey them. Submit to them. Obviously, please hear this. Obviously, God is not suggesting some kind of blind obedience like what you see in a cult. It's not the idea at all. Matt will not be perfect in his leadership, and it's not inappropriate to give input or suggestions that are to be considered. All of us who are pastors need sharpening in our leadership and sharpening in our preaching and sharpening in our shepherding and our teaching and all our ministry tasks. If we aren't open to that, we are arrogant and we are foolish. But it's important that you do it in a way that is supportive and not in a way that is destructive. So follow his leads. How do you care for a shepherd? Appreciate his deeds, meet his needs, and follow his leads. Godly, sensitive, loving, caring shepherds are to labor among the sheep, watch out for and lead the sheep, warn and instruct the sheep. Godly, sensitive, loving, caring sheep are to appreciate, respect, value, take care of, and heed their shepherds. That is the way, Doxa Church. That is the way to protect this new relationship that you all have entered into for the glory of Christ. Would you pray with me as we close?